Well, again, I'm very grateful that you are here this afternoon. I think this is the message that is really in my heart, and I trust that this message can be applicable to any age group in our midst. It can be applicable to young people, can be applicable to adults and senior citizens, and I trust that this message will be an encouragement to you, at the same time, great challenge to each and every one of you. The book of Daniel, by the way, I'm thinking to study the book of Daniel probably in the latter part of this year. I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to start, but it is because I want to study the book of Daniel, and eventually I want to study the book of Revelation, hopefully next year. And I trust that you will pray for me so that my preparations will be thought of. Don't be afraid, even though Revelation has chapter 22 chapters, but I'm sure that I'll be able to complete the messages within a certain time frame. The book of Daniel is one of the most fascinating books in the Old Testament, I believe. There are many prophecies in this book that the Bible students have studied over many, many centuries. There are many symbolical words which are not very easy to understand and comprehend. Though it is very intriguing and thought-provoking book to study, I will focus on one person today because we want to talk about a person's faith. And this person is the author of this book, Daniel himself. Daniel was a very unique person in many ways. The scripture tells us, as we have studied so far from Hebrews chapter 11, giants of faith, such as Noah, such as Abraham, David, and many other people. Though they are really exemplary to all of us, and they have left remarkable spiritual legacies behind, the scripture also tells us about their imperfections, tells us about their failures. Sometimes their failures are really serious sins and offenses against God. However, from the life of Daniel, there is no single blemish that has tainted his integrity as far as biblical record is concerned. We do not have any single record that causes us to be doubtful about Daniel's sincerity. If we know that he did not live in his homeland, and he did not have a temple to go for his worship services, we will be even more impressed by him and by his faith more than ever before. He did not have the presence of priests, so there was no religious teachers who were able to influence on him in a positive way. He did not enjoy bringing burnt and peace offerings to the temple of God because he was not living in the city of God, Jerusalem, but he was living in a pagan city. And he was not able to go to the temple of God because of the place where he lived. He had a rough life politically and personally and individually. There are many reasons why we need to know of him and learn about him. Daniel shows us how to live for God when everything seems to be against us and everything appears to be against us. He was a man who was pushed into various challenges in life, not necessarily because he wanted it, not necessarily because he chose such a way of life, but whatever came into his lot, he was a man of faith and he lived only by faith. Daniel and his friends, three friends, were taken into captivity in around 605 B.C. They left from their homeland by force, not by willingness, but by force, and had to live with the memory that the house of God, the beautiful Solomonic temple in Jerusalem, was burnt down by the merciless hands of Babylonian army soldiers later on. When he was taken to Babylon, he was probably about 14 years old. So he was a very young boy, 14 years, a teenage boy. He was taken from all his familiar surroundings, including his dear family, his homeland, and many other things. He was taken into a strange land altogether. Daniel was not like a plant thriving in the protection of greenhouse, but exposed to all kinds of storms, rains, and hails. Think again that he was only 14 years old when he was taken into captivity, into the enemy's territory. He was forced to receive a powerful and subtle form of indoctrination in Babylon. There were constant fluxes of temptations. Daniel's name means God is my judge, but was forced to change his name Belshazzar, which means Bel's prince, and Bel was one of the Babylonian gods. Babylonian gods, according to Isaiah 46, verse 1. All his three friends were in the same situation. Thus, they lost their Hebrew identities by having foreign names. I remember that when Japan occupied the Korean Peninsula, one of the policies the Japanese government imposed on Korean people was to change their Korean names into Japanese names so that there will not be any more Korean identity left behind. That was a kind of psychological war. But changed names could not change their hearts. Daniel and three friends still remained true to their God. I think it must be a great example to all of us. Oftentimes we make compromises while we are living in this world as Christians. We are saying that this society is not like the society about 2,000 years ago when the scriptures were finalized. We are saying that the people in the world are so secular, they are idolatrous, and they are pleasure seekers, and they are evil and sin-infested people. That may be so. But if you compare the society where Daniel had to live with the society we are living today, I must tell you that Daniel's society was even worse. But in that society, in that environment, he was able to live as a man of faith, believing in God alone. Therefore, let us stop giving excuses for not being able to live as sincere and loyal Christians. I hope that this message will be a message of encouragement to some people who are facing challenges and uncertainties in life. The history of Judah went down from glory to total destruction. King Josiah was killed by an Egyptian pharaoh, and then there were successions of kings who were appointed by the foreign occupying forces and by those foreign governments as their puppet regimes. Whenever there was a revolt against the foreign occupations, there were more invasions, and the Jews were taken from their homeland to other parts of foreign empires. Daniel was one of those captives by the Babylonian Empire. What important lessons can we learn from Daniel? We are living in a very, in a sense, un-Christian environment today. It seems that somewhere if you begin to stand up for Christ Jesus with a loud voices, and if you make a noise as a Christian within your working places or somehow in societies or communities, you are going to see that you are going to feel that there are some discomforts in the hearts of certain individuals, and eventually they will show their attitude towards you. The culture of the day constantly seduces us and our children. From music, movies, vulgarity of languages, dress code, morality, to every part of our experiences in this world. True Christians are often challenged to change their views and attitudes. Peer pressures are so heavy on our children and our working people. Saying no in certain situations is not easy, especially if we want to maintain our relationships with our colleagues and friends. Later on, Daniel was a target of everybody's jealousy because of his excellency. He did not do anything wrong, but his purity was a cause behind everybody's jealousy. Yes, it is very possible. You may be a target of jealousy because you are pure, because you are too sincere, because you are too faithful, because you are too honest. His true faith to God was a cause to bring him into many troubles. I want you to know that true faith may cause you some troubles. What Daniel's enemies wanted from him was in fact his own life. All these murderous eyes were lurking in every corner to find out just one fault from him that might bring him down from his prominent position. Temptations were not just from outside alone. He was a man of a high position, and I can guess that he did not have to suffer financially whatsoever. All these comfortable conditions of life could have slowed him down from his fervent services for the Lord. Usually that is the case. When we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we are troubled, we tend to be more fervent. We tend to be more zealous in the Lord. And when everything goes well, all things are being provided for us, we tend to be slow in serving God. But nothing prevented Daniel from serving the Lord with zeal and enthusiasm. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 describes the believers of God as strangers and pilgrims. As a genuine pilgrim, Daniel had a life of believing and trusting in God alone in every possible, every thinkable, imaginable situation. All other things, including his desires, pleasure, dreams, disappointments, despairing moments, were only secondary to Godward life. He was faithful to the task before him, and he was a good worker, and he was a very faithful man. Everybody was able to recognize his sincerity. All the more, the faith in God was the driving force behind his life, even in the foreign land. It will be meaningful for us to examine our lives and desires and to know where, how we should live. And we should be able to learn some lessons from Daniel so that we can be wiser but sincere and faithful Christians in this world. First of all, let me say that Daniel was a man of faith in his youth. His usefulness was not a cause not to live as a spiritual person or as a man of faith. One brilliant and shiny testimony about the life of Daniel in his younger years is that he lived in the most evil and violent age in the Hebrew history, but he lived by faith. That is an amazing and remarkable testimony that he left. You know, a lot of young people are coming from overseas to study in UK. And many of those young people were probably growing up in godly and God-fearing families. And they were probably zealous Christians while they were staying with their parents and families in their home countries. But when they come to UK, quite a number of them began to choose a different way of life. And truly, they begin to show their inner characters. Well, Daniel was not like that. The whole nation of Israel was sinful, and her spiritual condition is well revealed in the book of Jeremiah. If we reckon that Jeremiah ministered between 627 and 586 B.C., and Daniel was taken into captivity about 605, then we can see the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel, in fact, the nation of Judah, while Daniel was still alive. The book of Jeremiah shows us a picture of the society of Israel during Daniel's lifetime. So there were contemporaries. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 8 says this. The priests said not, "Where is the Lord?" And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after the things that do not profit. What does he say? This is the message from the Lord, condemning with a condemning voice upon the priests and the pastors. It says the pastors, the priests said not, "Where is the Lord?" And the pastors, in fact, do not know the laws of God. And they walked after things that do not profit. That means they are walking after the idols. That was the religious and spiritual condition when Daniel lived. The priests and the pastors themselves did not know the Lord, but handled the laws of God. What a fearful thing that is. They did not know the Lord, but they were the teachers of the laws of God. I guess we can find a lot of same analogies today. Probably we can find a lot of illustrations from our own day's experiences. Exactly the same thing. They themselves transgressed against God's law. They went after vain things such as idolatry. Thus Daniel could have blamed the religious leaders for his spiritual ignorance or his spiritual lukewarmness, lukewarm heart. But it was not the case. He knew God, and God revealed himself to him. The spiritual depravity in the leadership did not destroy Daniel's faith. That is a wonderful, wonderful testimony. It shows not only his spiritual discernment, but also the level of his intimate and personal relationship with the Lord. His personal relationship did not depend on those depraved and corrupt priests and religious leaders in his days. And I hope that while you are coming to this church, you are going to maintain your personal relationship, spiritual relationship with the Lord diligently. Do not lose that touch. Man comes and goes. Pastors come and go. However, you need to maintain your personal relationship with the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." The nation of Israel forsook the fountain of living waters, which was God Himself. Thus God pronounced the destructive consequences of the whole nation in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, which says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore, see, that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." So God Himself said, "You have forsaken me." Hear the lamenting voice of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Here is God's declaration. Jeremiah 2:32. "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." He's not talking about Gentiles. He's not talking about pagans. He's talking about the children of Israel who are called as the people of God. And God says, yet my people, not somebody's people, but yet my people have forgotten me days without number. I wonder whether we find exactly the same thing in certain segments in Christendom. Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 4 to 9. Let me read it for you. "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, "Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. We are talking about house of the Lord, which was standing in the city of Jerusalem.
And God spoke to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, this place is going to be like Shiloh. Shiloh was the place. Once upon a time, the tabernacle of God was established, was set up. However, because of the sinfulness of the children of Israel, Shiloh was utterly, utterly destroyed. And God is telling to the children of Israel that this city shall be like Shiloh. The whole nation of Israel was dark. Daniel was born, and Daniel was growing up in the spiritually sinful and apostated age. What he saw was only sinful and wicked, and there was no godly example nowhere. The Israel's national glory lived only briefly. Her dignity was lost, and the 12 tribes of Israel fought against each other because of mutual jealousy and feuds. The northern kingdom of Israel departed from the ways of the Lord and his worship, and he passed into captivity to Assyria by the utter destruction of Samaria in 721 BC. Now the same fate was waiting for the southern kingdom of Judah. When Daniel was taken into captivity into Babylon, things were not improved. In fact, he had to live in the heart of idolatry. It was the motherland of all idol worship. But all these pressures, strong forces to change the mind of Daniel, were not effective against him whatsoever. It is a great contrast that modern man blames virtually everything for his misdemeanors, sinful behaviors, wicked lifestyles, and evilness. A lot of people are giving excuses why and how they could not live by faith alone in this society in our age. And they are giving out a lot of excuses and so on by blaming all other outside factors and elements, causes. Man may say that his upbringing was a real cause of his bad behavior. His poor family is a real problem behind his problems. His broken home and families are the problems. His parents should be blamed for his sins and many more. But despite all those problems, Daniel stood up. He stood up above all of us as a beautiful man of God beyond any reproaches. Stop blaming others for your sins, for your unfaithfulness to God. But instead, repent of your sins and cry out unto God for His forgiveness. Then live right and do right. How often do we excuse ourselves for not living by faith? Daniel was given food from king's table. This food was offered to idols first before served. That was a custom. The righteous man Daniel could not partake of sinful things, and thus he asked the chief officer in chapter 1 verse 8 that he should be excused from taking the king's meal. There was one reason for his boldness. Verse 8 in chapter 1 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I hope that this verse speaks to all of us in a very special way. It says, Daniel purposed. Before things were taking place, he already was determined to do things right. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of king's meat. Many of modern men will say that Daniel was too extreme. He just does not know how to accommodate other people. People may say. They say to the Christians that they are too extreme when they refuse to listen to wrong music, to consume alcohols, to burn cigarettes, to maintain their morality and virginity, and to yield themselves to the drugs and temptations. Those people may say that we Christians are chickens and we do not have enough courage. That's why we are afraid of even taking a little bit of taste of temptations. They say that we do not have enough courage to take the things from the Word. But true courage comes when we fear the Lord, our God, foremost.
as Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself, so all our young people must purpose in their hearts not to defile themselves in this world. When students are living away from their parents, they must purpose in their hearts not to defile themselves. When working adults go away from home for their work, they must purpose in their hearts not to defile themselves. Did Daniel have a peer pressure? Oh, no doubt. Yes, of course. Did he have social pressure? Of course. Did he put himself in danger by saying no to the offers from the world? Of course. But what did he do? Well, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. As someone said, nobody loses out by refusing to compromise. If Daniel did not stand firmly at this point, could he possibly stand up for his conviction later, when he was threatened with death in a lion's den? In all situations, Daniel put God first before all other considerations. The outcome of his firm stand for God gave him wisdom and promotions. He was 10 times better than others, the scripture says. Stuart Olliott says about his country, England, in his commentary on Daniel, in quote, "The decline started when the church began to compromise. The more it has tried to be trendy and with it, the less influence for God has been made upon the people. When the churches began to water down their message so that they no longer preached anything that was offensive, such as hell and miracles, that was the moment when they lost their power." End of quote. Aren't you compromising in your Christian conviction for worldly recognition and popularity? Daniel was a young man, 14 years old. As a young man, purposed in his heart not to defile himself because he lived by faith during his youthful years. Secondly, Daniel was a man of faith as a mature man. Well, we come to chapter 6, the book of Daniel. By this time, the Babylonian Empire became a part of history. The Medes and Persians conquered the land, and there is no more Babylonian Empire. So new kingdom was established, and a new ruling dynasty was in power. A new king, Darius, was on the throne. He had an enormous task to administer the vast empire under his will, under his rule. Thus, he had put this administrative work into the hands of 120 satraps. They were answerable to 3 presidents right below, right under the king. And this way, Darius was able to control the empire. One of those 3 presidents was Daniel. By this time, Daniel was not a young man anymore. He was already in his advanced age. I cannot figure out exactly how old this man was, but approximately, probably he was around 80 years old already. According to chapter 6, verse 3, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. And the king considered to set him over the whole kingdom. It is very interesting that Daniel was advanced to such a high position in a different regime. It is not a Babylonian kingdom anymore, as we can see in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and so on. But he was living during the time of Medo-Persian Empire, which was a new empire. Even in today's politics, when there is a power change, there is a change in power, ministers are to be changed. We expect that Daniel, by this time, was a forgotten man by the new regime, by the new empire, by new kings by this time. It is hard to imagine that the conquering power honored a prominent man, honored him to be a prominent man. And this prominent man, Daniel, came from a conquered empire. Again, chapter 6, verse 3 says that the reason for Darius to keep Daniel was, it is a very interesting reason,
there was an excellent spirit in him. The scripture says there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. The fear of the Lord ruled in his heart. When we advance in age and position, we do not like challenges and we do not like to be challenged. And we want to have more comforts, and as a result, as we are being advanced more into the age, in the aging process, we often compromise more than before. We do not like a conflict with other people. We do not want to lose our stability in finance and social positions. In workplaces, there is always an opportunity to pervert the justice for more profits and gains. Thus, so easily, we give up our principles and we begin to make compromises. Darius could not see those things from Daniel. The integrity and faith in God that Daniel had in his youth, here is an amazing truth, never departed from his heart. As a young man, he was able to say no. And in his advanced age, still he was maintaining the same principle. He was ruled by God in his advanced age. Daniel was only a stranger in the land without any political support groups, but lived in the land only with God. His excellent spiritual quality was not unnoticeable. His political foes made a trap to catch him with a crime of treason. They found no fault with him, but his religious zeal. He was banned from praying to God for 30 days. But it was something that he could not accept, he could not allow, he could not keep. He opened the windows 3 times a day to pray to God towards his lost homeland, Jerusalem. How could he forget Jerusalem, the city of God? The threat of death against anyone who prayed not to the king but to other gods was announced in the empire. This particular law was made because there are a lot of enemies against Daniel. And they could not find any fault from Daniel's life except his religious life. So they wanted to cause him into trouble. That's why they made this law. And such a law could not escape from his eyes, because he was such a high-ranking person in the empire. So I'm sure that he knew the law. New law, in fact. And implications. He knew all of those. Such a decree could not escape from his office. But he did not stop doing what was right. Even the heavens might fall and he would lose his life. He fell on his face before God as usual, and he prayed to the Almighty God. Consequences were God's portion and God's work. He had learned to say no to all appearances of evil as a young man, and now he is able to do it. He's able to repeat it again. As a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. My friends, let us learn from Daniel. A young boy who purposed in his heart not to defile himself in chapter 1, verse 8, has not been changed for all those years. Praise the Lord. He would have been tempted not to pray to God or to make his faith in secret. 3 times a day, whenever he prayed to God, temptations must have come into his own heart. Just to wait for 30 days without noticeable prayer life. But as the years had gone by, the love for his Lord, his love for the Lord, has been deepened. There was nothing to sever God from him. My more matured and aged friends, how about your spiritual life today? Is your love for the Lord same as the love you had as a young person, your first love? Are you still keeping the same spiritual purity and determination to follow Jesus that you once had
as a young man or as a young woman. Daniel had an unbroken consistency in serving the Lord. He was a man of faith in his advanced age. Lastly, Daniel was a man of faith till the end. Again, we are going back to Daniel. During the years of King Darius in chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of the reign of King Darius, which was about 539 BC, Daniel was already a very old man. He was already over 80 years old. Until this time, he valiantly stood by faith in the foreign land for about 68 years, or with Jewish calculation, I may say, about 68 years, since the time of his captivity. All these years, he had not compromised on any occasion with a temptation that could have made him unfaithful. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." Many years had gone by since he saw the city of God, Jerusalem, for the last time. Neither his elevation to the top in the empire nor his success could not seduce him not to love God but to love the world. Or nothing could seduce him to love the world more than God. It is a great difference between him and, I think, many professing Christians today. How many of us must be rebuked by the Lord, as he said in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." One day, as usual, Daniel was reading God's word and meditating upon it. Then while he was reading the scriptures, while he was meditating upon it especially, he somehow came to the portion of the scriptures written by prophet Jeremiah. A fresh new vision came to him while he was reading Jeremiah's prophecies. Jeremiah said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verses 8 to 11, and chapter 29, verses 10 to 14, probably that is the portion Daniel was reading. While he was reading, something hit him very hard. Having read the prophecy, he was reminded once again of the faithfulness of God. He saw the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecies. Then chapter 25, verse 11 hit him really hard because God promised to the children of Israel that their captivity would not be forever, but for 70 years. Daniel had been in captivity for nearly 68 years already, according to the Jewish calculation. And we can imagine how his heart jumped with joy and gladness. Yes, the shame of being captured was about to be ended. Just 2 years, if you wait, then you will go home. Home, eternal city of God, Jerusalem. Can you imagine that he had opened the windows, his windows for 68 years to make his prayers to God towards Jerusalem? And within 2 years, finally, Jeremiah's prophecy was going to be fulfilled. And the children of Israel will be finally released from their captivity and they will return home. That was the prophecy he was reading. Verse 3, in the 9th chapter of Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." I cannot imagine that this elderly man, a highly honored and respected man in the whole empire, knelt down before God. He stopped eating the kingly feast and he began to pray with fasting in sackcloth and ashes. Wearing sackcloth is a sign of repentance. What had he done against God? that compelled him to stop eating and to wear sackcloth and to sit down in ashes with repentant spirit. What had this man of God done wrong? Verse 4 says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." He's making confessions in his prayers. He's praying for his nation. He was praying for the people of God. He's making confessions of the sins of the nation of Israel. The people of God had 2 more years to go before they would be released by their captors to return their home. That is going to be the fulfillment of God's prophecy. But this man of God sat down. His heart was already touched by reading the scriptures, by knowing the prophecies, and waiting upon that very moment of final release from captivity. This man of God sat down and he began to pray to God with fasting. He prayed for his people who are set to go to Jerusalem. It is not all. We come to chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, "In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. The 3rd year of Cyrus' rule as king over Babylon was about 536 B.C. It was 2 years after he prayed in chapter 9. Cyrus had issued his decree allowing the Jews to return to their homeland and to rebuild their temple in 538 B.C. So some of them had departed already the same year, under the leadership of Zerubbabel. And they had reinstituted the sacrifices by 537 B.C. according to Ezra chapter 3 verse 6. And by 536 B.C. they had begun to rebuild the temple according to Ezra chapter 3 verse 8. Daniel would have been in his mid-80s, if not late-80s, in 536 B.C. His age may account for his not returning to the promised land. He did not return to Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 10 verses 2 and 3 says this, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." He was an elderly man, close to 90 years old. This elderly servant of God still stood firmly in the Lord's service. What did he do? Again, he stopped eating for 3 weeks. Late 80s, close to 90s, he stopped eating for 3 weeks and he began to pray for his people. God gave him revelations concerning future. His life has been lonely, but not without God. He stood firmly for the name of God without making any compromises throughout his life. He was a man of faith. He was content with God alone in his twilight years till the last moment. Daniel was a man true to God from his youth till his end. He refused to compromise with the world. He had a purpose in his heart not to defile himself. And I hope that this is a message to all our young people today. And at the same time, as we think about his life in his advanced age, I hope that it will become a message to all middle-aged and senior members of our church to be true to their God until the last moment. Daniel was a man who was content with God alone in all his life, and he lived by faith. Is it possible for us to live by faith alone? The biblical answer from the life of Daniel is, yes, we can. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we look at Daniel's faith in life, we cannot but be ashamed of ourselves. As a young man, he was already determined to live by faith. Oh Lord, as a mature man, he was still living by faith alone. Oh Lord, even till the last moment, his ministry was not stopped, and he lived by faith. Dear Father, as we look into ourselves in the most honest way this evening, we cannot but confess of our sins. And we ask the Lord for forgiveness of our sins. Help us to learn from Daniel. And help us to live by faith alone. Help us not to make any compromises in this world. Help us not to be influenced by the temptations of this world or pleasures of this world. But help us to serve God always and put God on the top of our priority list. Maybe things are going against us, and sometimes things are really hard for us to overcome. But despite all those challenges and trials and difficulties, Lord, help us to live by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.